Blog Talk Radio.
Reads, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Many people interpret this scripture to mean that man physically looks like God, or a particular man. We welcome you to join us as we examine the scriptures to see if we are in the image of God, how do we get in the image of God? That is, if you can handle the truth.
Shalom, brothers and sisters out there. Welcome to another show, another addition to our show. Can you handle the truth? A lot of people can't handle the truth. Dealing with the topics we bring out, we're from the Body of Christ Church. My name is Dawa Yud. I have the brother Hashi Yud with me. You want to say a couple words?
All right, shalom, everybody. Most High, in the name of Christ, bless you.
All right, so this is a part two to last week's class show on dealing with making man in the image of God. A lot of people really take this scripture like, you know, is it a physical description? You know, are we to resemble God as according to our facial, you know, features or whatever like that? Mm-hmm. Well, when we read the scripture shows us that it's talking about it's talking about a resemblance, but it's talking about what it means to be spiritually following God on the image within yourself, you know, spiritually. Because the scriptures tell you, matter of fact, let me go to one scripture real quick. I'm going to go to Matthew's, well, I just said that, just thought it up just now. Let's go to Matthew's and read this scripture real quick before we continue. All right. Matthew chapter 5. All right, and we're going to read verse 48. Let's read that.
Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
So this is what the Most High God is trying to tell us. You know, we have to be perfect as the Most High God is perfect. But see, a lot of people take this scripture as being perfect, you know, as a definition. If you look at the definition of being perfect, you would think that no one's going to make no mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. According to the Bible, perfection, it isn't talking about that. It's talking about you getting yourself, you know, getting yourself ready for the second coming of Christ. Meaning what? You look at your life and you look at the old man, and little by little you're changing in the Word of God and becoming that new creature, that new man. And it takes time. It takes time to perfect that. So if you're going to be perfect through the Scriptures. And the Most High God was holy, so he tells us we got to be holy just like he is holy. So that's the image that is referring to, and we're going to bring that out. All right? I'm going to give it to you.
All right. So we're just going to do a quick recap on last week, since this is part two. Because basically last week we covered the fact about us not being made in the image of God. The image that the scriptures is talking about is us spiritually following the Most High and his word, and the process the Most High brought us through to give us that understanding on how we have to follow him, mm-hmm, on this earth. And we just want to recap and make sure everybody get an understanding on that. Go to we read this last week, Colossians 3:9, to bring that point out.
All right, Colossians chapter 3, we're going to start at verse 9, and it reads, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds.
So the old man with his deeds was a man that was corrupt and following Satan. So the old man that we used to be before we came into the knowledge, we were corrupt. We became corrupt from the ways of the Most High. Right, we don't?
Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
See, the old man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So that image is talking about the knowledge of us following the Most High and following his ways. Because that the understanding and wisdom on how we deal on this earth is something that the Most High gave to us in the beginning. I want to go to scripture to bring that out. Go to 2 Peter is the first chapter. We're going to read one down. Matter of fact, start at 2 Peter is the first chapter. Go right to the point on verse 2. We're going to read that down to verse 4.
All right. 2 Peter 1:2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Jesus our Lord.
So the first part, before we even move on, I want to look at that statement right there, because that statement right there is saying a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's telling us that grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God. Because when you look at the scriptures and you look at the commandments of the Most High, if we were to be following the commandments of the Most High, there would be peace on this earth. If everybody on this earth was to say, all right, we all going to be obedient to the commandments of the scriptures, there would be peace. Grace and peace will be multiplied on this earth.
That's right.
So those of us that choose, man, give me another scripture. Give me in the Ecclesiasticus, in the Apocrypha, chapter 25, and just read verse 1. Because the Most High, it's like the owner's manual on how to conduct ourselves on the earth. Mm-hmm. For us, if we were walking in that image, we would know how to deal with every situation that would arise when we deal with each other.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You got that?
Yeah. Ecclesiasticus and the Apocrypha, chapter 25, verse 1. In three things I was beautified.
This is talking about the word of God, what we were given from the beginning. And these three things is the word of the Most High beautified.
And stood up beautiful both before God and men. The unity of brethren, the love of neighbors, a man and a wife that agree together.
So there would be no problem. The unity of brothers, brothers will be unified. Neighbors, you know, there'll be unity between brothers and neighbors and everything. The love of neighbors, there'll be love between you and your neighbor
mm-hmm.
on how we deal with each other. There'll be understanding, there'll be wisdom, there'll be harmony. Because these are the information that we obtain in the Word of God. And it says a man and a wife that agree together. And that's what you'll have in your relationship as long as we keep Christ as our head, because Christ walked in that image.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things that we have, the instructions the Most High told us on how to deal with each other. But there comes something else we covered last week also, was that here comes men and here comes pride and lust.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Pride mm-hmm. on how they're going to deal with, oh, you said this about me, you talked to me this way, because people don't understand how to deal, man. That's what you got in the ghetto. That's what you got on TV when you look on TV. You look on these different shows. Everybody want to be respected, but don't nobody know how to give respect.
Exactly.
Don't nobody know how to approach another person and deal with them, how the scriptures show us how to deal.
I want to mention something, too, because this, see, we're saying this, and a lot of times we bring out information according to the scriptures, and we show what the Word of God is saying. But just like last week when we went into how Satan entered into, you know, certain individuals, or Satan enters into all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is how we fight it off. Like we talked about last week, how Satan entered into Judas Iscariot's mind, how he entered into, what was that, Ananias' mind, if I pronounced that right, and also Peter's mind. And the whole thing is that we didn't have a chance, some of us, or most of us, didn't have a chance to know these scriptures since we were born.
Mm-hmm.
So we already been programmed to handle things, you know, like an individual destitute of the truth,
yeah.
like poor of knowledge. So we've been handling it like so-called, you know, people down the street.
Yeah, carnally.
Yeah, carnally, fleshly, like we were out on the street. Like someone say the wrong word to you, step on your shoe, you're going to turn around, knock them upside the head, or you're going to shoot them.
Yeah, deal with violence. Everything is violence.
Mm-hmm. So it takes time to change that inside of you. You're not a computer. You just can't turn it on and turn it off. So there's a change that's happening to you, but it takes time, because even in myself, there's times where I fall short. Why? Because you understand the scriptures, but you didn't have a chance to apply it yet. You're not mature enough because you haven't been applying it for years. You know, versus you applying, you know, acting out, like we said earlier, acting out in violence, acting out in anger, in emotion. You're used to doing that for 30 years.
Yeah.
So then when you come into the knowledge of the truth, it takes time to get rid of that old person and put on that new. And this is what we're trying to explain to people out there, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, let's go back to 2 Peter 1 and 2 again.
2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord.
So grace and peace will be multiplied if we follow the knowledge of God and the examples of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
All right, read on.
According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness.
See, that's important. When was this done? This was done back at the beginning. His divine power gave us all things that pertain to life, meaning we was given the herbs, was given food and everything to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And godliness. Godliness is us being in that image, being like God. So he gave us what pertained to us to be like him, and that was his knowledge.
Exactly.
That was the knowledge that he gave us so we could be like him. But we moved away from that. Mm-hmm. All right, Rihanna?
Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue.
See, through the knowledge, he called us to glory and virtue, and that virtue is us being respectable and honorable men on how we deal. He didn't call us to be arrogant and wicked men, thieves and men out there fighting and rolling around the ground with people. That's not a virtuous man. A virtuous man is just like a virtuous woman, somebody that's walking upright with honor, dignity, and respect, walking in the commandments of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you know?
Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
See, check that out. By these, by us following the commandments of the Most High, we can be like the Most High, partake of that divine nature.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, enter into the eternal life and into the body and be physically like him also. But right now, we have the knowledge and the wisdom that the Most High gave us so we can be like him.
Mm-hmm.
So we can be godly, upright, in that image of the Heavenly Father in Christ, which Christ came and showed us perfectly. That's why through the scriptures it talks about he is that image.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the many places in the scriptures say that he is that image. So it says corruption that came in the world, the corruption that is in the world through lust. So corrupt, to become corrupt means that you was one way and you went off from that way. You corrupted yourself. You became corrupt because we stepped out of that image by following our lust.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be anger, hatred, idolatry, these are all things that we lust after and we decide to follow it. And even now that the information is coming out, people are still lusting after their lust,
mm-hmm.
and they're going contrary to the information of the knowledge of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's why we also went into, if you was tuning in last week, went into go not into your own wisdom. And the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God, because that's what men are doing. They're trying to justify sin.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give you one more scripture, and I'm going to hand it back to you. Go to Proverbs 3 and 5.
All right. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. And it reads, trust in the Lord with all thy heart.
So that's what we got to do. We got to trust in what the scriptures say and not try to go into our own wisdom to justify sin.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no justification for sin. It's just your lust playing, your mind is playing tricks on you. Like we read, we also read Jeremiah the 17th chapter, where it talks about the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So your mind is deceiving you to go after your own lust. But the scriptures tell us to trust in the Most High, which means in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And lean with all thy heart, we mean with all our mind, and lean not into our own understanding. All right, read on.
Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him.
I mean, everything you're doing, every decision you're making, make sure it's according to the words of the Most High and through that example that Christ showed us.
In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil.
See, there goes again, being wise in thy own. Mm-hmm. Be not wise in thy own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of men think that they have some type of wisdom where they're going to speak against the scriptures and explain why they're right and the scriptures are wrong. You know, that's what we have going on in this world. People justifying idolatry, people justifying homosexuality, people justifying fornication.
Mm-hmm.
They have some type of wisdom where they're right and the scriptures are wrong. But the scriptures, we know that the scriptures are right every time. And you are going after your lust.
Exactly.
And you stepping out of that image of righteousness and uprightness which the Lord created us to be in, and which Christ showed us perfectly on how to walk.
Read verse 7 one more time. Proverbs 3 and 7. Read that one more time.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to read it. I'll read it. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So as you can see here, the part I want to add to is that a person that's being wise in their own eyes, like you just finished saying, you gave a couple of examples. You know, a lot of people are wise in their own eyes, like we, like when you went into idolatry, you know, and we went into what, like even people were committing fornication. You know what I'm saying? People justify and think they have a right to sleep with who they want to sleep with when they want to sleep with them. And they feel as though they're wise in their own eyes. You got people that's out here getting money and they running behind that saying, by getting money by any means necessary.
I got kids to feed. I got to feed my kids.
I got to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So these things, they're wise in their own eyes, right? Homosexuality, right? They're wise in their own eyes. Why? God loves me anyway, and we're not hurting nobody. I can marry, if I'm a man, I can marry a man because I'm not hurting no one. We love each other in the Lord. You wise in your own eyes.
How can love be wrong?
Yeah, how can that be wrong? Read verse 7 one more time, Proverbs 3 and 7. Read that.
Be not wise in thy own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Fear the Lord and depart from evil.
Because that's evil. And the Lord is telling us to depart from that way of thinking. If it's not according to the scripture, it's evil.
Period.
But a lot of people don't want to see it as that. They don't want to see that as that being evil. Then they're getting all kind of, you know, beat in their own mind to justify their lust. You see, and that's what's wrong with the world. And this is why we gotta come out with these topics, man, to show the people, you know, their flaws, you know, show the people their infirmities so they can repent and turn back to the Lord, man. You know?
I'm gonna read verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones.
Okay.
So it's showing you that the Most High is gonna bless you in that.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna receive blessings and life.
That's
and then
right.
When you depart from the Most High, It's the opposite thing. The opposite thing is what's happening.
And that's death.
Exactly.
You know, decaying of the bones, you know, that turns into death.
And sickness.
Exactly. I want to go back to that scripture you read earlier, which is a beautiful scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to expound on verse 4.
Okay.
It's a beautiful scripture because a lot of people don't really understand what lust is. A lot of people, just like we finished talking about, a lot of people don't understand it because that's their lust and they want to continue in it.
Exactly.
All right. Let's read 2 Peter chapter 1 and read verse 4.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Yeah, so we got to escape that lust. We got to escape that corruption, because where is it coming from? It's coming from that lust.
Exactly.
So how do we escape it? Just like, who was that? Was that Joseph? Was that Joseph the one? Yeah, it was Joseph, right? With Pharaoh's wife?
Yeah.
When he ran, when she grabbed a hold of him and she wanted to, you know, give him some loving or whatever,
yeah,
commit fornication, what did he do?
Yeah, he ran. He ran from her.
He escaped. You know what I'm saying? That corruption that was through that lust. Because this woman could have drove him into that. He could have fell victim to that and lost his crown. And how did he escape? He literally ran and booked out the way from this woman. He ran from sin. And this is something that we got to look at. That's why the scriptures say, you know, what they say about us reading things aforetime. You know, things that was written aforetime was written for our learning. So that we can escape. You know what I'm saying? That we can escape that lust. You know, and run from corruption. And that's what it's going into.
Exactly. But it's beautiful how the scripture brings out that divine nature, too, because the Most High created us to be in a divine, you know, a divine people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's if we apply our minds to his word and to that example that Christ gave us.
Exactly. Let's go to St. John chapter 10, unless you want to add to it.
No.
Okay. Let's go to St. John 10. I know you quoted the scripture last week. I want to go into this, all right? We're going to start at verse St. John chapter 10. Excuse me. We're going to start at verse 30.
All right, St. John 10 and 30.
Mm-hmm.
I and my Father are one.
So this is Jesus Christ, all right, saying that I and the Father are one, right? But the whole world, we see, you know, this the whole world, there's a lot of different sets of people see this scripture totally different.
Mm-hmm.
We went through this on many different episodes, many different shows about how they say the Father and the Son is the same person.
You know what? You know what's heavy about that? That mm-hmm. The point you're going into with that scripture, because when you read Exodus 20 in the commandments where it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Exactly.
Some people try to say that, well, if you're dealing with Christ and you're dealing with God, that's two gods. You're putting Christ before the Father.
Exactly. We hear it all the time.
When Christ is explaining that they're one.
Exactly.
They're in agreement.
That's right.
There's no difference between them. But they don't understand it.
Yeah, and the thing is, we bring it out all the time. Excuse me, all the time when we talked about, you know, the history and the foundation after the flood, where a lot of that stuff came from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Nimrod and Semiramis, and then we talked about how Nimrod, you know, when he died, and then Semiramis had a son, right? And that son, they say, was Nimrod reincarnated.
Yeah.
Right, which was going right back into Tammuz, right? So now them two, they were saying, was one. They was the same person.
Mm-hmm.
The Father and Son is as one. That tradition or that understanding came from that. So now they're bringing that into the churches, and now that's why the churches picked that up, because that's the same wicked understanding that Satan came in into the church to beguile the people. You know, no different than a lot of other scriptures that they take and twist and make it mean what they want it to mean. You see what I'm saying? So let's read that verse one more time, verse 31.
Verse 30, St. John mm-hmm. 10 and 30. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, maketh thyself God.
So they was pissed off. They was mad because he was saying what? Him and the Father was one. And that basically that he was letting them know, when you read, you know, further up or further back, that he was the Son of God. And they wasn't trying to hear that. Like, what? So now you're putting yourself up to be a God? That's blasphemy. So they want to kill him. But read on.
Verse 34.
Uh-huh. But these are the Jews, mind you.
Yep.
These are the Jews. Read on.
Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods?
So we're going to deal with this, because a lot of people don't understand what this scripture is really saying. Right? Because right here it says Jesus answered them. Who did he answer?
The Jews, Israelites.
So that's the people that he's talking about. Right? That's his group of people that he's speaking to. He's saying, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. So where is it written at? Let's go to that scripture real quick, all right? Let's go to Psalms chapter 82, verse 6. I just want to bring this point out as we move on with this topic, because it's very important to understand where we're going with this. So then you can understand what the image truly is, all right? So this is Psalms chapter 82, read verse 6.
I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High.
Because this understanding of this scripture answers a lot of questions. It answers a whole lot of questions. I have said, ye are gods. Now, this is what's written in the Holy Bible, and he's referring to who? The Jews, the Israelites.
Exactly.
Because when we read in St. John, when Jesus was talking to him, who was he talking to? Who was his company? It was the Jews. So this conversation was saying, wasn't it written in your law that ye are gods?
It's just like when you go to Exodus, where he said, Israel is my son,
mm-hmm.
even my firstborn. So tell Pharaoh to let my son go that he may serve him.
Exactly. Exodus 4:22. So read Psalms 82 and 6 again. Read it one more time.
I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are the children of the Most High.
So if the Most High himself is the God, he's the Most High God, no higher power to him, no other creator. He is the God. So if he has children, they're going to be gods, because why? They're the children of the Most High. But a lot of people don't understand that, all right? And he's referring to who? Right back to Israel again. Because them are the gods that he's referring to. Now we're going to finish it out in St. John 10. We're going to bring it up. St. John 10, read verse 34.
Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I have said ye are gods?
Read.
If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken.
So what does it mean by the scripture cannot be broken? It's written. You can't take that back. It's written. The scripture says what it says. But a lot of people out here don't understand what it means when he's saying that ye are gods. So it goes right back to understand that the children of God, which are the Israelites, we are gods. Why? Because we are the Son of God. No different than Christ was saying, me and the Father is as one. But when you read St. John chapter 17, we're going to go into that after this. This is to show that we all in the body of Christ is as one.
Mm-hmm.
So we are the sons of God. So we were around the time of Jesus and said the same comment. They want to grab stones and stone us too. Don't get it twisted. I'm not putting myself on the level of Christ, because Christ came to die for our sins. But we are the body of Christ in that image, in that same image, to follow, to have eternal life, because we got to be perfect like they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And what is, in verse 35, it says, if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, who did the word of God come to, brother?
The Israelites. But see, that's a big part of it, because that's what's going to make you God-like.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have the word of God. That's why I said, if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came.
That's the whole point.
That's the key right there.
That's right.
Because them having that word
will give you the image.
Exactly. Will put them in that image.
And that's how you become God's children, the sons of God.
But I got to say, too, it's not just having it. You know, you got it up in your dresser and growing cobwebs. It's reading it and applying it.
Exactly.
And living it.
Exactly.
That's what's making you God-like.
Exactly. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. That word of God changes everything. That's how we're going to escape everything. That's how you become the children of God. Without the word, you are you can't call yourself the son of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't. See, I don't want people to get confused, because there's a lot of people that might be confused with a lot of different sects out here, religions out here, even the Muslim groups, even the five percenters, they call themselves gods.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, God, what's up, God? You know, peace to you, God. But this is not what we're saying. This is not what the Bible is saying. Them people that call themselves the five percenters, they believe that each individual is a god within themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it goes right back to their Allah, their God. Okay, which stands for arm, leg, arm, head, which refers to Allah as they are Allah. They are individually God in themselves.
Yeah.
So they don't fit and understand what the scripture is saying. So we're not identifying ourselves with those group of people. So I want people out there to understand that we believe in the Most High God. He is the creator. And we, if we keep his words and try to be perfect like he is perfect, then we become the sons of God. That's what brings us into that category of the sons of God.
Mm-hmm. That's why when you look at that, I'm going to read this scripture again one more time. We read it earlier,
mm-hmm.
you know, but this right here connects with that so beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
This is, we read it twice because you read it over
That's
again.
Right.
This is 2 Peter 1 and 4. I want to make sure everybody get this.
I got it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Matter of fact, read...
Read verse 3?
Yeah, 3, that's the one. I'm
sorry. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness.
So, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life, because
mm-hmm.
we read in Genesis, he gave the herbs, you know, yielding seed within itself.
That's right.
The air we breathe, everything that pertains to life, food, clothing, and shelter.
Mm-hmm.
All those things was given to us in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But the other part that a lot of people miss is godliness. Give us all things that pertain unto life and godliness.
Wow.
So that godliness is what? What does that godliness mean?
Right back to what we're talking about, that image.
Yeah, putting us in that image like him.
Exactly.
Being godly. Being righteous.
Being the sons of God.
Being the sons of God. How you treat your neighbor. How you treat your brother. How you treat your wife.
Exactly.
He gave us the owner's manual of being a man, of being a woman. This is how you're supposed to deal.
Exactly.
But people want to set that to the side. I'm going to operate without the owner's manual.
Exactly. I got my own manual.
So now they corrupted themselves from that image.
Yep. They so far from being the sons of God. But the scriptures say they're the sons of men.
Yeah, they blinded. Mm-hmm. They became the sons of Satan.
Exactly. And we're going to bring all that out. You finished with that?
Yeah, that's the point.
Let's go back to St. John 10, right? And I want to finish reading this out in St. John 10. Go to verse 35 and read it all the way down.
All right, St. John 10 and 35. Mm-hmm. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken. Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blaspheme, because I said I am the Son of God.
Yeah, so you just pissed off. You just mad because I'm telling you I'm the Son of God. You have anger issues. You have issues. You have problems. You want to stone me and kill me because I'm not following your doctrine. I'm the Son of God trying to teach you how to repent and follow me, and you're going to tell me what the scripture's saying. These people are crazy. And this is what's happening in this world today. We try to teach them what the word of God is saying, and they're like, nah, close that. I'm going to tell you what I'm saying. Read on.
If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not.
So if I'm teaching you, right, you know, if I'm teaching an individual, you should not cheat on your wife, man. You should not do that.
Mm-hmm.
According to the word of God, okay, that's going into adultery. That's fornication, brother. You can go to hell for that. You're not going to make it to the kingdom. You shouldn't do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to give them the keys to the kingdom. I'm trying to give them life through the word of God. But he's rejecting me, though.
He's getting mad at you at that.
He's getting mad because why is he getting mad at me?
Because the truth hurts.
The truth hurts. Because you can't handle the truth. It's like our show. You can't handle the truth. But the whole thing is, in verse 37, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I'm turning around cheating on my wife, and I got a lot of nerve to tell you not to cheat on your wife, of course you shouldn't believe me.
Mm-hmm.
How you going to believe me? I'm a hypocrite. Okay? I'm a blasphemer of the word. But if through my works you see me not cheating on my wife, and I'm telling you you shouldn't cheat on yours, and I'm reading the Bible, believe the works that I'm doing. It's that simple. And that's what Christ was trying to explain to them, but their lust wouldn't let them see it. But read on.
Verse 38.
Mm-hmm.
But if I do, do ye believe not me? Though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know, believe that the Father is in me, and I in him.
And that's what it means, brother, when you go right back to verse 30. It says, I and my Father are one. Why? Because you believe in the works that I'm doing in the Father's name. And that's what's so important. This is what's going to make us as one.
And that's also in the scriptures where it talks about we all are one.
Mm-hmm.
We all one and we all part of that body. But it's not us doing what the heck we want to do and going contrary to the word and then saying we're one. And that one is being all in agreement.
Exactly.
You know, you can't speak against the word of the Most High and say, well, I don't agree with that scripture, but I agree with this and saying that you're one. If in one, there's no disagreements. You're going along with the Spirit. You and the Spirit are all in agreement with the Most High in Christ.
Exactly. What, you want to pull outside?
No, I'm good.
I didn't write this down, but I want to go to it real quick. Go to St. John 17, since we quoted it. I don't know where to start. I'll tell you what. Start at verse 19.
Okay, St. John 17:19.
Yeah, read that.
And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth.
Now, this is beautiful, man, because this is Jesus Christ. He shed his blood for us, right, for those that committed adultery, fornication, murder, and serving idolatry, which we were serving, brother,
mm-hmm.
okay, at one time. He laid down his life for us and sanctified us, meaning we were cleansed, and that's the true baptism, is through his blood and not through no water. But through his blood, we were sanctified, brother, all right? So, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself, and they also might be sanctified through the truth. Meaning what? Now it's right back to the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Psalms 119 and verse 142 talks about what the truth is. It's going right back into the commandments. The keeping of the laws and the statutes and the commandments through Jesus Christ.
The law and the testimony.
Exactly. Read on.
Verse 20.
Mm-hmm.
Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word.
Right back through what we're teaching today. There's going to be people out there, Lord's will, that will repent through the words that's coming out of our mouth right now. And also will be what? Grafted in and sanctified and being as one. Read on.
That they all may be one.
See, right back to being one. Because it's through the works and the understanding of the word of God that's going to make us have that completion of the one with the Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. Read on. Read the whole verse again, verse 21.
Mm-hmm. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me.
Now, this is beautiful, man, because now the world got to see Christ in that way.
Exactly.
So if Christ walked around not committing sin, can we do like the rest of these churches is saying, justifying our lust by saying Christ is the only one that could do that? He's the only one that cannot commit sin. He's the only one. We're not him. We can't do that. Can we justify ourselves by saying that? Or are we going to try to become that one as Christ and the Father?
We're going to try to become that one as Christ and the Father. We're going to follow the example that Christ laid down for us to follow. You know, that's returning back, like as we've been saying, to that new image that we was created to be in. You know, like you have the Catholic Church, they would commit sin and then go pray to some man and ask for forgiveness, and they feel that they won with the Father as long as they could continue to commit sin and continue appearing to some man and ask forgiveness, and they straight again.
Mm-hmm.
But in that, there's no repentance in that. Mm-hmm. How's that repentance? If you keep going back committing sin, that's not being one with the Father in Christ. But if you're one with the Father in Christ, you're supposed to be following that example.
Exactly. We missed a caller, too. I didn't see her until the last minute. I looked up, and the caller had a question. But Lord's will, if you have
hanged up?
Yeah, I seen it up there, and I turned around. It was too late. But Lord's will, hopefully they'll call back. But let's finish up here. Matter of fact, let's move on. Let's go to, you want to take a short break now and come back, or?
It's up to you, bro, whenever you're ready.
All right. Let's go to, actually, yes, let's take a short break, and we'll be right back.
The brothers from the Body of Christ Church welcome you to listen to our show, Are You Smarter Than Your Pastor?, airing every Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. In these difficult times, we often look to spiritual leaders for guidance and instruction in our lives. As Christians, followers of Christ, should these leaders speak from their mind or from what is written based on the Word of God? This show will examine things said by men and women claiming to be God's ministers to reveal whether or not they are speaking God's Word and doing His will. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We hope you tune in and listen to our show. Thank you.
Preacher said How long these devils think they're gonna escape, man? Go on and expose them. Reverends doing witchcraft and abominations. They say they're of the Lord, but they're the friends of Satan. Spiritual wickedness in high places. We got devils walking around with human faces. Divining witches and psychics will bring a curse. But what's worse is cats is teaching this up in the church. Filthy lies and blasphemy is what it is. The Most High said he would not suffer a witch to live. So we examine and reprove all these sinful demons. Now get your Bibles out, cause it's repentance season. Submit yourselves to the will of the Most High Might. Open your eyes and turn from darkness to the light. Tune in to From Darkness to Light on blogtalkradio.com/the BOCC, Wednesdays at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Repent from witchcraft and the occult. Shalom.
This is the Body of Christ Church, inviting you to listen to our program, Repentance is the Key, where we examine repentance according to the Holy Bible and the teachings of Jesus Christ. The show airs every Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So remember the words written in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Jah gave Moses 10 commandments upon 2 tablets of stone. Led Israel out of Egypt and then promised them a home. Samson slew the Philistines with a donkey jawbone. And David slew Goliath.
All right, we're back. Thank you for tuning in. The topic today we're going to is the image of God. Okay, the image of God. This is part 2 to last week's show. And it's very important that this image, this is kind of loud. Turn it in. Excuse me. All right. The image that we're referring to is the image meaning being perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. So there's things that we have to what? Understand that's going to make us perfect. So we got to find within the scriptures that's going to bring us into that image of God and his son Jesus Christ. All right. A couple of things I also want to mention before we carry on with this show. You know, we have other Blog Talk Radio shows that airs on Sunday at 2 p.m. The show that we're doing now, Monday at 8 p.m. Tuesday also at 8 p.m. Wednesday at 7 p.m. Thursday also at 8 p.m., the new show. Friday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 9 a.m. And these are all Eastern Standard Time. Just want to throw that out there and also give a shout-out to everybody in the chat room that's listening in and also that called in. And Lord as well, whoever that caller was that called and had a question will call back. All right, but anyway, right back to the topic at hand, going right back into the image. We want to go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, we went into last week also. It's a lot of information dealing with this topic in this chapter. So we're going to tackle that right now. So we're going to go to 1 John chapter 3 and start at verse 5.
Okay, 1 John 3 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that you was sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins. And in him is no sin.
So this is referring to Jesus Christ. Before we left off on the break, we were also talking about, you know, how Jesus Christ himself didn't commit any sins. And there's a lot of churches out here today saying that he's the only man that can do that. But the scriptures tell us different. Mm-hmm. Those that's going to make it into the kingdom must be a follower of Christ. Period. So let's read on.
I want to read verse 4 because it gives everybody understanding what sin is.
Okay, cool.
Whosoever commits sin transgresseth also the law.
Mm-hmm.
For sin is the transgression of the law. Yeah. So whenever we break the commandments of God, we are sinning. If God said, you know, don't steal and you steal, you are committing a sin. If God said don't commit fornication and you commit fornication, fornication is unlawful sex, whether you're lying with another man, lying with man, woman, lying with women, having sex without being married and having no intention to marry,
mm-hmm.
or being married and sleeping around, these are all considered sin.
and also idolatry. You know, there's a lot of other ones. I just want to throw idolatry out there.
Plenty of them.
So the whole thing is, where will you find that at, brother?
In the commandments of God, in the laws, the first five books.
Yeah, the first five books of Moses. But we understand that through the whole Bible, from the beginning to end, there's a lot of commandments the Most High gave us, you know,
exactly.
And we have to follow. And the whole thing is, a lot of people don't understand the understanding of Christ and the things that's been reconciled through him also, you know, through the laws,
mm-hmm.
you know, through him. People don't really quite understand. But with saying that, I'm glad you read that, because I was going to go into that too about the sins, because the only way we're going to identify what sin is through the law, meaning through the word of God. That's the only way. Because if Christ didn't commit any sin, we're not supposed to commit sin. But how do we measure ourselves with that? And that's with the law. So how can churches today say that the law is done away with when we need that measuring stick to measure us, you know, to walk as Christ walked?
Exactly.
So that does not make any sense, these messages that's going out to these churches today. This place that they're in and teaching the word of God, they so-called teaching the word of God, they're not. They're teaching the word of Satan. Why? Because it's not the word of God that's saying that. That's that individual teaching that, and you flocking to it. All right? But let's read on. Read verse 5 and 6 together.
And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abide in him sinneth not.
So they don't break the law, right?
Yeah,
Christ.
Yeah.
They don't do that.
That's someone that's abiding in that image.
Exactly.
That God created us to be in.
So that's a serious thing. That's how come even ourselves, brother, that's sitting here talking today, there's things that we have to look at in ourselves and work on, brother. And find out, you know, like the scriptures tell us in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, it talks about examine ourselves. Know ye not yourselves?
Exactly.
You know
what I mean? Sorry about that, but mm-hmm. I mean, if your reasoning is Christ did it and you can't do it, then what are you examining yourself for? You're examining yourself because you're trying to get yourself more and more and more to being like Christ.
Exactly.
That's putting on that Godhead or being godly. You know, you're trying to be more and more like him. If you see something in you that's contrary to Christ
mm-hmm.
and contrary to the word, because Christ is the walking word, then you have to work on getting that out and doing better. If you got a lot of anger and hatred, you got to work on that. Get that out of you. You know? Pray,
yeah.
Pray if you need to pray. Pray for strength, but you cannot stay like that.
Exactly. But the thing is that I want to mention the saying that a lot of people say. You know that saying in the world, would Christ do that?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people throw around that quote, would Christ do that? Well, we understand the things that Christ wouldn't do, and that is the breaking of the law, because he's a man that did not break the law. Now, will Christ do that? Now, will Christ commit fornication? Will he commit adultery, or steal or kill, or have hatred towards his brother or sister? That's the thoughts you should say in your heart, will Christ do that? And that's the image that we got to understand and look forward to following. Read on, and finish reading out verse 6.
Verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever abide in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither know him.
So that person relationship, these people out here that's committing idolatry and homosexuality, they don't know Christ, brother. That's what that scripture just said.
Exactly.
I ain't trying to be funny, but it's just that even within ourselves, brother, we were once some of these people, I say it all the time, we were one of some of these people that served Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter, which we understand where it comes from. We were not of Christ because Christ wasn't keeping those things.
You know, it's a shame, man. It shows you that the works of Satan are definitely in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Because this information, you know, should be taught to you as a child.
Exactly.
Because we should be taught how to be in that image.
Right away.
Right away. When you raising a child and molding him, he should know the image that he is supposed to be in.
Mm-hmm.
But as a child, we were not taught these things, so who did we envy and who did we look up to and want to be like?
The undesirables, everyone without the law.
Yeah, we wanted to be like the sinners and didn't even understand what we was doing.
Yeah.
Had no understanding whatsoever.
The pimps, the players, the hustlers, you know what I'm saying?
Those that were corrupt.
Yeah.
You wanted to be corrupt.
Exactly.
We desired to be corrupt and didn't even know what we was doing.
They didn't understand. It's no different than the Bloods and the Crips when they're born into being a Blood, born into being a Crip. They don't know nothing else but that. You know, they don't know nothing but about wearing that red rag and representing it, being loyal to that gang and murdering people. That's all they know. They were born into that.
That's why the saga continues.
Mm-hmm.
To the next generation and the next generation.
That's why crime is crime. That's why drugs is drugs. That's why they swinging on the corners. That's why they're investing their money in foolish material gain. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And also, not even just to talk about people in the hood and in the streets, what about these corporations, you know? What about the church?
Hmm.
What about being like Creflo and T.D. Jakes, brother? You see, what about teaching prosperity doctrine because I can get rich off of this? You know, what about that? But people now understand that that's going into your lust and into idolatry because they don't want to believe it. But that's not the image of Christ, brother. You know, and we're getting ready to get into the Passover soon. And Easter's coming up and all that. You know, shout out to Godiva too, bringing out a beautiful show dealing with Easter, man.
Yeah.
Beautiful show, you know. And, you know, and the thing is, a lot of people really got to understand what it is and what Easter stands for. Right back to the fertility god, you know, dealing with bunnies and eggs and all this foolishness. Not really understanding it has nothing whatsoever to do with Christ. And Christ never kept that or the disciples. But when you look at Passover, that was something that Christ kept before he died. That Last Supper that everybody got that picture on their wall about, that was the Passover,
yeah,
which they kept in honor of Jesus Christ, which the churches do not identify with. That's not the image of what we're supposed to be keeping.
Yeah, and it's sad that they don't identify with it because the scriptures tell you that Christ is our Passover.
Mm-hmm.
So you're denying Christ because he is the Passover. The meanings, the true meaning and understanding behind the Passover is found in Christ.
Exactly. Let's move on. Let's read verse 6 through 7.
All right, go back to verse 6, you want?
Yeah, 1 John chapter 3, read verse 6 and 7 through.
All right. Mm-hmm. Whosoever abide in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you.
So everything we're talking about now and the information we're bringing out, don't let no man deceive you. Don't let Satan deceive you through any other individual, and don't let Satan deceive you through your own vain mind and through your lust. Don't let that take place. We just talked about the Passover and how it was written and things that Christ kept. That's in the Bible. Don't let no one deceive you and tell you anything different and keep Easter when it has nothing to do with Christ, absolutely nothing. And the saying I always use, you can Google it, YouTube it, or whatever you want to do to it, and everything that we're bringing out, you can find that information. It's so easy.
If you want to.
If you want to find it. And just like the brother Akari always say, the information is there. They can read it and they can even know it. And yet they still will not follow it.
Because Easter, following Easter is sin. That's sin. That's going into idolatry.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's move on to verse 7.
Verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous.
So what is righteousness?
It's keeping the commandments of the Most High. That's why I say even as he is righteous, talking about Christ. Christ is righteous because what did he do? He didn't commit any sin. So that's being righteous.
Exactly. And anybody want to see that, we know we always use that scripture, Deuteronomy 6:25. So that's Deuteronomy 6:25, where it talks about establishing your righteousness and what is righteousness.
Yeah.
And it's going right back into the commandments. So that's how we're going to establish our righteousness. It's through the word of God. So read on. Verse
and that's being godly.
Mm-hmm. And that's being that image.
Yeah, because God is righteous.
Verse 8.
He that commits sin is of the devil.
Wait, hold up. Let's stop there for a minute. This is where a lot of people, you can't handle the truth. Because this is the part where you're going to start looking at yourself in the mirror. When I say that, I'm referring to the people out there that think that the law is done away with. If you're committing a sin, brother, we just went right back to verse 4. Read it one more time so the people could hear in verse 4, please.
Verse 4.
Yeah.
Whosoever commits sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law.
So how do we identify with sin again, brother?
by knowing the law. You have to read the Bible.
You have to read the Bible and you have to know the law, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you read the first part of 8 again, he that commits sin is of the devil.
So what image are you in again?
You're in the image of the devil and not of God. Because so those group of people that's out there saying the law is done away with, if the law is done away with, that means you're not going to know you're committing sin. That's what the devil wants you to believe. That's what the devil wants to tell you. He wants to get the law out the way, because if he gets the law out the way, you will never be the image of God. You will never be the sons of God, so I got to remove that. So the churches is teaching what now? The law is done away with. Why? Because they are of the devil. So any church out there that's teaching the law is done away with, hey, you can't handle the truth. Why? Because the scripture is telling you you are of the devil when you get rid of the law. Period.
Yeah, it's crystal clear. Anybody can read it.
Are we twisting that scripture?
Absolutely not. Go to Barnes & Noble, get yourself a Bible.
And get yourself a dictionary, a concordance, all that. Let's read on. Read verse 8 again.
He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
And how did he destroy the works of the devil? You know, a lot of people got to see this, because he came in the likeness of us, brother, right? He came just like we came into this world. A lot of people don't understand that, but it's another topic, another show. But he was among us, like we're among one another, right? And he came in the form of a human form and what? Died on the cross for our sins, meaning what? To cleanse us and wash us and baptize us in that blood, because that's what the Passover represents, brother. It represents what? Us being cleansed, that baptism, so we have a chance to make it into the kingdom. Because the bulls and the goats and the lambs could not do that for us. It couldn't clear our conscience and really cleanse us to be forgiven for our sins. It had to go through Jesus Christ for us to have that, to open up that gate to everlasting life. It couldn't be through that animal. The animal couldn't give us everlasting life. But through Christ, we receive that everlasting life. And that's through the Passover, meaning the Lamb, Jesus Christ. So without that, the works of the devil can't be destroyed, brother.
And what's the works of the devil?
Works of the devil, and we understand, because when he shed that blood to be forgiven for our sins, now we got to look at the scripture to measure up to, so we don't keep committing sins, because that's of the devil.
That's the part I wanted. The works of the devil is sin.
Exactly.
So if he came, you know, a good point is, if he came to destroy the works of the devil, how can we say we in him and be continuing in sin? We continuing to do the works of the devil, and we saying we following Christ. Does that make any sense? He came to destroy the works of the devil, so that means he's given us an opportunity to stop doing the works of the devil by repenting.
Because he gave us a chance so we don't die. Because the scriptures say, in the time of Moses, you were stoned right away. Some of the things that you committed that was worthy of death, you didn't have a chance to have eternal life. But now we have a chance. You know how awesome that is? So you still want to keep following the works of Satan?
And you know, the thing is, too, when you look at the Passover during the time of Moses, the Passover was the angel passing over the house of the brothers and sisters that had the blood on their door, right?
Exactly.
So they didn't receive death.
Exactly, because they was covered through that.
So now we're covered through the blood of Christ, so death is coming again.
So what you going to do then?
So that blood, the blood of Christ, the only way you're going to have that blood of Christ on you protecting you is if you repent and you follow Christ. And you doing the works of Christ, the works of the Heavenly Father in Christ. You walking in that image and not doing the works of Satan. Because if you're doing the work of Satan, then you don't have the blood of Christ on you.
So how are you going to be protected when you committing sin? You know, it don't make any sense. That's why when you read verse 6 here, it says, this is 1 John 3:6. Whosoever abideth in him, sin not. Whosoever sinneth have not seen him, neither known him. So how are you covered through the blood if he's saying I don't know you if you sinning?
You're not.
So that blood ain't going to cover you when the plague of death comes this time around. And it ain't talking about killing the firstborn of Pharaoh's sons. It's talking about killing off anyone that's not following that image that he gave us. And you're going to be destroyed.
Exactly.
You want to finish?
No.
All right, go.
What verse?
Verse 8.
He that commits sin is of the devil,
mm-hmm.
for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Read.
Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin.
So if we're born of God, that's going right back to the saying of the world today. I was born again. I've been born again 2 years, 3 months, you know what I'm saying, 2 weeks, 1 day, and 12 hours. So if you go out there and you commit a fornication, the scriptures tell you how to be born again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go into it a little bit about being born again, and then we'll come back to this scripture right here. What scripture I want to go into real quick? Let's go to 1 Peter's, that precept there. 1 Peter's 1 real quick. And then we'll go to the famous one we always use in St. John, too. 1 Peter's 1. Read, start at verse 22. So this is 1 Peter's chapter 1. Start at verse 22.
Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfigured love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently.
So, this is a beautiful scripture, man. And in the top, seeing ye have purified your souls. So, it's going to show how to purify our soul, how to cleanse our soul in obeying the truth. So in order to be purified and to be cleansed, is you have to not only know the truth, right? According to what we're seeing here, we have to obey the truth. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. That's why the scriptures say, talks about those that are not just, you know, justified by the hearing of the word of God, but the doers of the word are justified before
exactly.
God. But a lot of people hear the word and be like, yeah, it sounds good. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's so. But yet, they're doing the opposite of what the scriptures are saying because they're not obeying the truth. And there's a lot of people out here walking around here trying to teach this doctrine, but they themselves are not obeying the truth themselves. And I ain't talking about those that make mistakes and slip and fall and identify with what the scriptures are saying and working on themselves. I'm talking about those out there that are straight up hypocrites and not even trying to apply to better themselves, but just want to hold the word of God and teach it deceitfully.
Mm-hmm.
And not be that image. So 1 Peter 1, 22, read it all the way through one more time.
Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren.
Yeah, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Because that unfeigned love is going to that genuine love that you have towards your brother. It's genuine. I'm not faking the funk. I'm not deceiving you through the love of God. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of people that don't understand what it is to have genuine love. And the only way we can have that is through the word of God. That's how come the scriptures were even written. The law, statutes, and commandments was written for us to understand how to work with one another and deal with one another in certain issues. That's unfeigned love because that's genuine. You see? Let's go to scripture on that real quick and we'll come right back to that. I'm getting like you jumping around a little bit. Let's go to... I want you guys to hold that right there. We're gonna go to Romans 13. This is the one we always use, Romans 13, and let's read verse 8.
Okay. Romans 13:8.
Yeah.
Owe no man anything, but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Because that's going to that unfeigned love, brother. That's going into that genuine love.
Mm-hmm.
When you see these commandments that are written here, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, we always go through this because I'm not going to do this to my brother because that's genuine. That's something that I know I cannot do.
Exactly.
There's no other reason why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because I truly love you. And I am not going to sleep with your wife. Why? Because I have genuine love towards my brother. Regardless of how good she looks, regardless even if she's trying to get with me. I'm not going to do that because that's unfeigned love.
And you know what's heavy about that too? Because that goes right back to 2 Peter, the first chapter, when we read that grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because by us conducting ourselves and treating each other in that fashion,
mm-hmm.
that's how we're going to have grace and peace. But if we go against it and we do these things, what we going to have? We're going to have what we see going on out in the world.
Chaos.
And that's because people are following Satan and not following God.
Exactly. I'm not going to bear false witness. I'm not going to lie on my brother or my sister for anything, for me. Because there's a lot of people lying on their brothers and sisters to overcome something or to get something out of it.
And we can look at the Pharisees. They
mm-hmm.
were supposed to be the keepers of the law. And what did they do to Christ? They brought false witness.
Exactly.
To testify against him. So were they really followers of God?
And did they really have unfeigned love towards the brother?
That's why Christ told them, ye are your father the devil.
Exactly.
Because that's who they were following. That's whose image they were in.
Exactly. So let's go back to 1 Peter. Unless there's more on that you want to read.
No.
All right. Let's go back to 1 Peter and read... you got to read 22. I'll read 22.
I'll read it.
All right. 22 and 23.
Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren,
mm-hmm.
see that ye love one another with a pure heart.
Fervently. Mm-hmm.
Being born again.
So, letting you know, everything we just read and what we was explaining, that's how an individual is born again. You just don't go into a church and they perform this baptism and you get dunked under water or whatever the case may be. This is the day I gave my life to God. You can't consider yourself being born again on that day if you're committing acts we just finished talking about.
You come out of the water, the first chance you get, you're stealing.
First chance you get, you're stealing.
You're lying. You're bearing false witness.
Committing fornication.
Any one of them. You don't got to do all of them, but any one of them.
Exactly. So these things, how can you be born again when you're yet still the same individual, that old man? Being born again means you're a new creature. You know, it's like a little baby. You just was born. Brand new life. It's not the same life. It's a new life. So how can you keep doing the old works of the old man? You have to become a new creature now. That's the definition of being born again.
And the thing is, it's a process that you work at.
Exactly.
It's not something that happens just because you jumped in some water and so there was a pastor standing over you and dunked you in water. It doesn't work that way.
Mm-mm. But this world think that's why they're caught up in this magic. They think it's a magical process. You're going through this water. Oh my God, it's so magical. His life has changed. I've seen a change in him when you came up out that water. You a different person now. No, that water ain't doing nothing to you. It's the image of God that you have to apply. That's why we read that scripture about right here in verse 22 about obeying the truth. That's the only way you're going to get purified. That's the true cleansing process is by obeying the word of God. That's how you're going to be born again. So let's read. It's going to keep saying it. Read mm-hmm. verse 23. Read it all the way out.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
So it's letting you know by the word of God is how you're born again. Not by your pastor dunking you in water and at the end of it, the end of this whole spectacle that you're saying, oh, you're born again, you're a changed individual, it's a brand new beginning for you. No, I got to start applying these scriptures in the process you just said, which we're all every day through the sincere milk of the word. That's what the scriptures tell you right here. Matter of fact, we're right at it. 1 Peter 2 and 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. We're all growing. We're growing every day in the word. We're understanding things that we didn't understand yesterday. So now we got to learn how to apply it to our lives today. So there's a process. We're still becoming stronger in that process. No different than Peter. No different than Paul, no different than all the disciples that was walking. As they were growing, as Christ was teaching them, as he was here, they were lacking faith in so many areas. So then as you see them going through that walk, they became stronger through that walk. It took time. So it's the same walk we walk in today. Me and you, brother, and everyone else out there, that we have to grow and have understanding through the word and start applying it to our lives. And that's how we change and become the image of the Father and his Son.
Exactly.
So Let's move on now. You want to pull out anything?
No, you can go ahead. All right,
cool. Let's go to St. John. Let's go to St. John 3 real quick. And then we're going to go back to 1 John 3 in a minute. But now we're going to go to St. John 3. I don't want people to get confused. Let's go to St. John 3. Even though we broke it down and said it, I still want to hit this part right here before we move on. St. John chapter 3. Okay, and read start at verse 3.
Okay, St. John 3:3.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
So there's no way you can even see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. I'm going to the scripture now. It's just like putting the icing on the cake, because we understood now that by the word of God is how you're going to be born again. We talked about the law in 1 John 3, which we're going to close out with that or go back to it anyway. And then whatever scripture we have after, to show the people that, to remind them again, that the keeping of the law is how we're going to understand and identify with us not committing sins. You know, we have to see what sin is, and it's the keeping of the law, and to stay away from it. That's the word of God. That's the only way you're going to be born again. There is no other magical way.
So you're being born back into that original image that we was meant to be in from the beginning.
With Adam.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So let's read verse 4.
Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?
And that's a comical question, you know what I'm saying?
That's being born of that corruptible seed.
Exactly. So how am I going to be born again at the age of 40 or 50? How is that possible? Read.
Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
And we understand right back, we talk about this all the time, about that water. And we talked about a little while ago, people might get confused. That water is not referring to the actual water you go into your church and get dunked into. It's talking about the water that was in Christ. Okay, we talk about this all the time in many scriptures, you know, where it talks about that water that came out of his side. You want to go to that anyway, since we mentioned it? You want to go to it? Or
it's up to you, bro. It's up to you.
Yeah, let's go to it, because I know a lot of people might be like, oh, that's not what it's saying. Let's go to St. John chapter 19 real quick. All right. And read. We're going to get right to the point. Just right to the point so we can move on. St. John 19, just read verse 34. Right to the point.
But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. And forthwith came there out blood and water.
So that was Jesus Christ that they're referring to, so we didn't read the whole story, where he was poked on the side to see if he was dead when he was on the cross. And on the side of him came out blood and water, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's referring to that baptism, right? Referring to that cleansing process. Spiritually, we understand that took place. And that's what the water is referring to when you see St. John 3 and 5 here. It says, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And we know what the Spirit is, brother. Going right back to the law, statutes, and commandments. It's the Spirit that's going to quicken us. It's that Spirit that's going to give us life. You like you're thinking about something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Read verse 6 real quick. St. John 3 and 6.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh,
mm-hmm.
and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
So, walking in the Spirit is not going to fulfill, you know, I mean, excuse me, walking in the flesh is not going to, we're not going to receive life everlasting. But walking in the Spirit, we're going to have eternal life. So, these are the things that we have to understand, that the old man was walking in the flesh until we got to know God. And the only way to know God is through the word of God, to read his Bible, and to have that image of God in Christ. So that's what we're supposed to follow in order for us to walk in that spirit. But to walk in the flesh is mean we're still going to walk contrary to the scriptures and don't want to follow it. We're still in the flesh. So that means you're not born again if you're still operating in the flesh. But to be born again, you have to become a new creature and a new individual.
And you walking in the spirit, you're walking and following the words of the Most High. And not your cardinal mind.
So basically. This is the scripture, just to balance it out. Romans 7:14, for we know that the law is spiritual. And that's what we have to go right back to, is the keeping of the laws again. I know it sounds redundant, but that's what we have to do to explain these scriptures, that the keeping of the law is what's going to make us spiritual. And without having that, we're not going to be born again. That's all I want to bring out, that without the law, it's impossible to be born, to say that you're born again.
You're the same old person.
Yeah.
Because you're being guided by the same way you was guided before, which is your flesh.
Your own mind.
Exactly, your lust.
So let's go back to 1 John chapter 3. Probably going to close out with this, unless you want to pull out something.
That's why the scriptures talk about the fight that we have to fight. Because we're fighting our lust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't have no laws that you're dealing with, you jumped in that water and came out, and you're not following no laws, you still, following your lust. You're doing the same thing you was doing before.
Yeah, you're just a wet.
And what are you fighting? You ain't got no fight.
Mm-mm.
Because you don't have nothing that's guiding you on what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes absolutely no sense, man.
Exactly. So this is 1 John 3. Read verse 9 and 10.
Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God.
Yeah, because you're born of God, you can't sin because you're not committing sin. Read on.
In this, the children of God are manifest.
So it's letting you know how you become the son of God. It's letting you know how you become that image, how you become God, like we said earlier in the show, about how ye are gods. Because you are the children of the Most High,
yeah.
Referring to the Israelites. So it says in this, the children of God are manifested. So he broke down everything we were teaching today, explains how we're being manifested. So let's read on.
In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil.
So the children of the devil is someone that's not born again.
So it's basically telling you how you know who's the children of God and how you can tell who's the children of the devil. It's not based on race, as some people might say.
Yeah, some people might say it's based on race, you know, based on color. It's absolutely not, because we have a lot of people that identify themselves as being Israel, but they're Israel according to what? According to what? Nationality, according to what? Genealogy in their mind, according to their facial features, according to their so-called skin color. No, it's way deeper than that.
Mm.
It's all spiritual, because what we read here has absolutely nothing to do with color, but has everything to do with what? The image, meaning what? The spiritual image inside of you that we must follow to have eternal life. And that's what's extremely important. It's extremely important. All right, so verse 10, I'm going to read it. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So it shows you, if you don't love your brother, you have hatred in your heart for your brother. There's many ways not to love your brother or your sister. There's many scriptures that identify with that. And while he finds this scripture, I'm going to pull out this one real quick. Matthew chapter 25, just to give you an example or two, while we still have a little time here. Just to give you an example or two on how to identify with it according to scriptures. This is Matthew 25. I'm going to get right to the point. In verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, in prison, and ye visit me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's showing you how we must love our brother and our sister, because there's times where they need food because they can't. They're trying their hardest to maintain life. They got a job. They're overwhelmed with bills, or some people having a hard time where they can't find a job, they lost their job, whatever the case may be, right? So they need help. They need support. They need finances. They need food. They need a jacket. They need a coat. You know what I'm saying? They need shoes. They need clothes. So when you have, when you're able, you have the ability, you have the finances to help with these things, and you're not doing that, that's showing that you have hatred towards your brother and towards your sister. And Christ is saying, when you're like that towards them, guess what? You're doing that to me. So this is the image that we're supposed to be in Christ, as far as what? Helping one another out through these hard times and through trials and tribulations. No, you have something you want to pull out?
Yeah, Galatians 6.
Okay.
What you were saying about Israel.
Mm-hmm.
15 and 16.
All right, Galatians. Now we're moving on to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature.
Yeah, that new creature again, which is being born. The
exactly.
Old person died, and you have a new person.
Mm-hmm.
A person that's walking in the image of God, walking according to the statutes and commandments of the Most High through the examples of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we on?
Excuse me, verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, in mercy and upon the Israel of God.
See, mercy upon the Israel of God, because that's the, who the Israel of God is, those new creatures, those who had left off that old man that was walking contrary to the commandments of the Most High, and put on that new man that's walking according to the examples that we were given in Christ. That's the true Israel.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's all I have.
Well, that's it right there. Did we close out on verse?
Let's go back to 1 John 3.
Yeah, you want to bring up something in that?
Well, yeah, there's a lot more in it. All
right.
I'd like to go all the way up to 12.
Okay. 1 John 3, and I'm going to read verse 11.
You want to read 10 again?
I'm going to read 10 again. 1 John 3 and 10. And this, the children of God are manifest, manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another.
And that scripture, again, is going to what we was bringing out in the beginning, is that the message that we heard from the beginning, meaning the commandments, is all based upon us dealing with each other in righteousness and in love.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we went into Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha, chapter 25 and 1, where it talks about brothers that agree together, brothers that are in unity, dwell together in unity, neighbors dealing with love, a husband and wife that agree together, because that's what the commandments is showing us on how to deal, you know? And that's what verse 11 just brought out. Read 11 one more time.
1 John 3 and 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another.
All right, read on.
Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one.
See, so Cain was of who? Was he in the image of God or who?
He was of the wicked one, of the devil.
He was in the image of Satan. And that's what Christ told the Israelites in his time, that they were of Satan.
Exactly. And slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother righteous.
All right, read 13.
13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you.
So the whole world is operating according to what image?
The image of Satan, the image of the wicked one.
Exactly. So the whole world is operating according to Satan. That's why I said, marvel not if the world hate you, because that's what we're going to get from the world, is hatred coming against us. Want to hear what we got to say? You know, they're speaking against the word. Really, the hatred is for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The hatred is for Christ and the words. That's why Christ said, the world can't hate you, but it's me it hate, because I testify that the works thereof is evil, because they don't want to repent and return back to that true image. They don't want to hear the words of repentance.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's all I wanted to bring up.
Wait, give me 1 second. I was just looking at something. Let me go to the scripture in St. John real quick. We'll close out. All right. St. John. St. John, let's read St. John chapter 5. Something I was thinking about with this scripture too. Go to St. John 5, 43 and 44. Let's read that real quick.
St. John 5, verse 43.
Mm-hmm.
I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye shall receive.
Yeah.
Ye will receive.
Exactly. I'm going to go into the scripture. I probably should have went into it earlier, but I want to hit it now, you know, because a lot of people really look at, see, Christ here, Christ was trying to show the people that, listen, man, like we said earlier in the show, about how he came in the Father's name, meaning what? He was perfect just like his Father is perfect. Whatever the Most High Word says, that's what he follows. They're on the same, you know, wavelength. They're on the same mindset. They're doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you shall receive. But if another individual come with a different doctrine, you're going to receive him. And that's what's going on in this world today. They come, in other words, they come in Christ's name, though, but they're coming with things that are not written in the scriptures. And you receive them. You receive a person that's teaching Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter easy. Okay, you receive an individual, like we said earlier, that doesn't mind that a homosexual enter their church and it's okay for them to stay that way. And they mention Christ and this is of Christ. You'll receive them. You receive just like there's certain Israelite groups out here that put Christ's name up there, but they're teaching nothing but hate. Okay, you'll easily receive them, but you won't receive what the Word of God is saying. Like, what is that? Let's read 5:43 again.
I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. You know what was heavy about that too? Because it shows you when it talks about I come in my Father's name, it's not talking about a specific word.
I'm glad you brought that out, brother. Does it really mean the Father's name,
yeah,
per se?
Exactly.
And everything we talked about today, you should not have got that. If I don't know the Father's name per se, I'm not going to make it to the kingdom? No, it's talking about that image of following, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect image.
Because really when you look at it, what does a name represent? A name really supposed to represent what a person's about.
Exactly.
So when he said, I come in my Father's name, I mean, he's showing us what the Father's about,
mm-hmm.
what the Father likes, what the Father dislikes.
Exactly.
What the Father stands for.
That's right. What he represents.
Exactly.
So let's finish that out, 43.
I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive.
Read verse 44.
And he's coming with his own stuff, his own thing, you know.
Like you said earlier, he's coming with his own philosophies and theories, his own, you know, his own mindset.
He ain't talking about, my name is Eric, this is what I'm coming, with Eric.
Yeah.
Because people focus on that word name so hard. Man.
Yeah, exactly. 44.
How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?
And hopefully in today's class you receive the word of God only and not get so caught up in man's glory and get so caught up in what men are teaching and what they're saying. Don't get caught up in that. And don't get caught up in your own lust in your own mind, which is the image of the wicked one. Which is the image of the devil, and that's Satan. The father is Satan, you know? And with that Lord's will, you know, and we give all praises to the Most High God and his Son, Christ, you know, for all knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of his word. And we hope that we reach those out there, and the word of God was edifying to those out there. And, you know, we pray for ourselves, and we pray for those out there fighting this fight. And I don't know, man. You got anything to say?
Well, we thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the show and received some edification. And Most High, in the name of Christ, bless you and keep you.
Shalom.
Shalom.
The Body of Christ Church invites you to listen to all our programs on Blog Talk Radio. These programs are meant to edify the listener regarding repentance and good works according to the Holy Scriptures. The weekly program schedule is Sunday at 2 p.m., Tuesday at 8 p.m., Wednesday at 7 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m., and Saturday at 9 a.m., all Eastern Standard Time. Our Spanish broadcast is at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time each Saturday at blogtalkradio.com/ICDC. Please accept our invitation to call in to our show at 646-716-7749.
If you would like to contact us or learn more about the Body of Christ Church, you may do so by calling, emailing, or by visiting our website. Our telephone number is 1-877-871-1712. Our email address is bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Ureach is the letter U, followed by the word reach. So that's bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Our website, thebocc.com, contains our telephone number and email address, as well as audio and video biblical lessons and other information geared toward edification in repentance and good works. Again, our website address is thebocc.com, so please feel free to connect with us today.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can seem intense.